That board becomes the major elected officials of the Athenian constitution. And those 10 generals can be elected annually. They each represent technically a regiment, that is a tribe in the Athenian government, and they could be reelected repeatedly. And one of the reasons why generals are so prominent in the assembly is if you know how to bark orders on the battlefield in the middle of a hoplite battle, you're probably pretty good at addressing the assembly. The old elective offices of the archons and all are turned into offices chosen by lot, or certition is the fancy word for it. They lose their importance. The board of generals become important. Additional elected officials are introduced into the Athenian constitution. The old aristocratic council of the Areopagus, which was never abolished, increasingly plays a lesser role. Its main role was as a judicial court, and it also had the right to discipline magistrates. They administered the competence test known as the dokimasia, and then they held euthenae, that is, accounts, after an official left office. Those powers they hold until they're transferred to the assembly in 461. But as a result of the Cleisthenic reforms and the innovations in the next decade, the Athenian assembly has essentially taken over most of the powers that in other Greek states were held by the elected magistrates and the council, that is, the aristocrats. The Athenian assembly elects officials. Officials who fail to perform can be tried in popular courts, which are drawn from the public body at large. The Athenians also have a number of important safety measures in this. Anyone holding public office has to go through a competence test. Anyone who leaves office has to render the accounts. Anyone in the assembly issuing a proposal that might be illegal or detrimental to the Athenian demos can immediately be charged with what is known as a graphe paranomen, that is, the measure is tabled, and then it's examined by a jury court, and if it's regarded as unconstitutional, you find yourself in trouble really quickly. The Athenian assembly held its magistrates, its council members, to very, very high standard of performance. The Athenians weren't any better than we were in governing themselves. They just took more practical measures in doing it to ensure honesty and effective government. And it's astonishing at how well it ran. Despite the protests, the criticism, and really the horrors felt by most Greeks, that the vast majority of Athenian citizens could essentially meet it's called the Pnyx. It's just a meeting place opposite, it's a hill opposite the Acropolis, and essentially vote every measure it wants. Finally, the assembly had a very, very powerful weapon in what is known as ostracism, a law introduced by Cleisthenes and used by Themistocles, who is the great architect of the Athenian navy and also the victor over the Persians in 480, 479 BC. Themistocles emerged in power in Athens in the 490s and 480s by exploiting the use of ostracism. What the law was one of a number of measures in the Athenian constitution going back to Cleisthenes to prevent anyone from aspiring to be tyrant. If someone was suspected of those types of ambitions, the Athenians every year held a vote of ostracism. It was usually held in the second prytany, or the second legal month, and they would decide whether there was going to be an ostracism or not. And if they voted no, there was no ostracism. If they voted yes, 4 months later, and the Athenian calendar is 40 days, they had a second vote. Everyone got an ostraca, which is a broken piece of pottery, which is essentially the scrap paper of the ancient world. And you scratched or wrote one name on it. And then they were collected and counted. You had to have a minimum of 6,000 votes cast, and whoever got the most votes won. Well, what did he win? He had to leave Athens for 10 years. It wasn't exile. His property wasn't confiscated. It was just, we don't trust you that much. Maybe it's a good idea that you leave. And that way, you won't aspire to be tyrant. Themistocles used this law as a way to run out of Athens political rivals, some of whom had been compromised as being pro-Persian in the debate before the Battle of Marathon and after the Battle of Marathon. And finally, one of them, Aristides the Just, according to one account, was ostracized because the Athenian public just was tired of hearing him being called the Just. It's a silly anecdote to denigrate the Athenian democracy. But what in effect Themistocles did was remove these political opponents, and he changed the law of ostracism in a way that was never envisioned by Cleisthenes. So the law of ostracism becomes a means of removing a political rival in democratic assemblies.